This week on RSBNB Update, the newest batch of graphical updates arrived, focusing on Karamja, Crandor, the Lumbridge Swamp, Rimington, Burthorpe, Taverley, and many more places. And Yak Track is extended by another 4 weeks. Does this mean that the new format is flopped? This is RSBNB Update, episode 934, recorded Thursday, May 11th, 2023, The Graphical Jungle. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update, Graphical Update Week. Tanis, good to have you here as usual.
Thank you.
Also joining us, because it is Graphical Update Week, and, you know, I forget whether it was me who messaged you, Zant, or if you messaged me first. But
you messaged me.
Okay, I knew you'd be a natural fit for this week's podcast episode. Given what we're talking about, so many environment graphical updates around the world. And it feels like there's a ton this time, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm going to be real. I haven't even gotten to like fully experience all of it yet. It's just,
there's too many.
A lot.
Yeah, there is. I went through a selection, I think, of some of the most substantial ones earlier, but we'll get to that in good time. Of course, if you're joining us for the first time, welcome to RSBNB Update. We discuss the RuneScape news of the week each and every week. We've been doing this for, 934 plus episodes now. And if you want to follow along, we have our full show notes at update.show. I can be found in-game at Shane12088. Tanis is at Tanis79, and Zant is at iZant. We also have the community Discord at rsbnb.com/discord. Lots of fun happens in there, too. So, graphical updates. You guys ready to strap in and go for a walk?
Let's do it.
Go for a stroll.
Yeah. So, of course, these graphical updates started off as Game Jam projects. We need to be 100% clear on that. Specifically, Game Jam projects that were worked on by Mod Alex and Mod Black Witch. And it just really says everything we need to know, I think, that these are Game Jam projects. These people put their own time when they could have chose a different project into it, and they just threw themselves into this. And, you know, it honestly modernizes the way the game looks and brings a new level of consistency towards it, is how I'd describe it. Where do you guys land?
Yeah, I'm sorry, did you want to go first, Hans?
You know, it'll be really quick. Where I fall down is Mod Black Witch is a boss.
Yes.
That's where I'm at.
Nice and simple way of putting it. Go ahead, Zant.
Yeah. So this, it's just further making the game's art style more consistent, right? And that's something that I think everyone can agree is a good thing. So, I mean, yeah, these are the kind of graphical updates where they're not making new assets. They're not, you know, completely reworking the identities of these areas. It's just bringing the things like the textures and the foliage and the lighting up to a level that's at the same standard as the rest of the game. So when you're doing things like walking around Lumbridge and then you hit Taverley, it doesn't just, you know, swap over to a completely different style. It's more of a, you know, we've definitely got some different styles mixed in here, but it's way more consistent than it was. And I just think every time they do an update like this, it's just getting us closer to that. So I'm all for these kind of reworks.
It's getting us closer to that RS4 kind of feeling, dare I say, graphical-wise on that. Where do we want to go next with this? You were mentioning briefly Lumbridge. I feel like the graphical updates in Karamja were probably some of the starkest. Do you guys want to start there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know that this was one of the areas in-game that was sitting for the longest time without being graphically updated.
Yeah.
And
not only that, it's also just, it's an entire continent that literally has received like no treatment.
Yep. Like,
there are parts of the world, like the desert, that have received some treatment. But Karamja's been neglected. Like, let's be real.
And you remember it wasn't too long ago they said that they couldn't do a Karamja graphical rework without reworking the content there to make it less colonial focused. But But here we managed to get, I think the graphical, what, I'm going to be honest, I think this is what most people expect for a graphical rework. They don't expect, you know, massive block changes like we had in Varrock, for example, back in the day, or the Catherby graphical rework, just to name a couple of them. I don't think people expect that. And I think most people are fine with the lighting changes and updating the trees and skyboxes with this.
Yeah.
Well, it's bringing a uniformity, right, to the game that Zant had mentioned before about not being walking from one area to another and having that stark difference. Now, Karamja is a little bit different, right, because it's supposed to have a different feel, but at least we're making it feel modern, and I'm glad that they didn't let the whole, you know, colonialism thing or whatever legacy was left over, they didn't let that stop them from at least making some changes to bring it to the modern, you know, the modern era.
Yeah, because like we were saying, this hadn't been touched since, you know, RSHD came out. You could very much still see that those were the ground textures in use. Those were still the trees in use. That was still the water in use, even if, you know, if you would have went back prior to the Java client, it would have looked exactly the same in 2016 as it did in 2008. And there were, you know, incremental changes as a result of the engine and the game client, but everything else has remained largely static since then. So, and it just feels brighter. It pops more. I know these are areas that we don't get to each and every day, but I'm wondering how this will land on the accessibility side, Tennis. Based on what you've seen from screenshots and videos, how do these feel on that front?
It feels very similar to when Mod Black Witch did that very first batch of textures. So I think Sam was on that show where it really differentiated the it helped differentiate the foreground from the background a lot of times. And it was little stuff like that. You could just, the textures made it stand out better. I can't remember where that first batch was. I remember,
I think it was the free to play area.
Yeah, that's what it was.
It was the areas just outside the Archaeology Guild, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So it reminded me very much of that. Now, I don't go very many places in Karamja. Overgrown Idols, you know, is maybe. But I don't know. I think it's outlined better. It's easier to see specific assets.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I picked up on with this is that it almost as though feels you're walking through a dense jungle, when I think we need to realize is that probably the only things that really happened here are the tree textures were changed on this, or rather the tree entities were changed and some ground decoration was added along the way. But combining, you know, the trees with the palm trees with the leaves that droop more and the grasses that were added, it just feels like you're actually moving through dense jungle, believe it or not. So that's good. Go ahead, Zan.
Oh, I was just going to say, while we're talking about accessibility, the one thing that, you know, me as an environment artist, that stood out to me with these updates that really helps with that is specifically with the post-processing effects. There's just so much more contrast to the game now. And that's almost something that they can kind of control on top of all the lighting and stuff. And you can just look at the screenshots between these. Like, look at the Crandor one, for example, the colors between first screenshot and the second one. They look incredibly washed and dull in the first one. And it's just, it's got more of a range to it. And it separates the foreground from the background a lot more, like Tana said. And it just helps it look a lot less muddy, I think.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, actually, from that perspective.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for, contrast. Thank you, Zant. You hit it. That was exactly what I was thinking of and could not get the right word for it, so... Yes,
I think I said the same thing about the Lumbridge area update when they did that as well, because it's the same thing. It's bringing that lighting to this standard, you know, new updated kind of standard that they have. And I bet they actually have proper, like, minimum contrast ratios and stuff like that they're maybe, like, using for their lighting now. Whereas
oh, before, that's a good point. Like, whereas they would just do whatever they wanted then.
Yeah. So that's good. Like, I don't know if that's actually going on here, but it looks like what's actually going on here, because all these areas, they have the same kind of color gamut to them, and they look really nice.
Okay. So, that's a good technical way of putting it, because that's one thing now that I miss when I log into old school, is that everything in RS3 now just pops. And that, I think, is part of, I guess what you could say is there, would you say that's like the art design or art style that they've chosen to go with for this, is that we're seeing this move more consistently through the game?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think they're kind of taking that more stylized approach that they've done with things like Archaeology and Sentistan, and kind of implementing that where they can. I mean, obviously we still have the old buildings and such.
Yeah, but, yeah. Like right now, for folks watching on YouTube, you'll see that I'm in Shiloh Village here, and the buildings and whatnot are still the same old buildings that were always there. It's just a question, of what's surrounding them. And then you take a few steps away from the building, and bam, you're in some deep trees. So, I also wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about the updated water effects, because you messaged me about this, and I said, yeah, that came in with a game engine update a few weeks back. You notice the river is actually flowing now.
Yeah, I thought it was crazy. Like, I was just standing in Lumbridge on that bridge, and the river was flowing. And I haven't been playing RuneScape at all, like, really at all for, like, the past month or so. So I just completely missed that. And it looks great. Especially with the caustics below it that kind of flow with it.
Explain what that means.
That is the little highlighted light effects that appear below the water. It's effectively the light from the sun or whatever source it's coming from being refracted by the water.
Interesting.
And it kind of creates this little pattern. It's the kind of thing you see when you're like, like the bottom of a pool on a sunny day, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay, so they can do that in effect then with something like a river or stream then, which you would need to have the proper lightings for in real life to kind of experience that thing. But when it comes down to it in the game engine, it's just part of that, I guess, style that pops. And, you know, I'm just, you know, sitting back here watching this and realizing that this is RuneScape in 2023, which, I mean, I don't know. My question is, would there be a push over time to update these areas to look like this if it were not for these Game Jam projects, is my question. And these two JMods, Alex and Blackwich, that worked on these.
I'm going to be real with you. I don't think so. I think this was a product of someone like Mod Blackwich or Alex deciding that they could go in and kind of touch up these areas and, you know, make somewhat of a graphical rework about it. Instead of going the route of, or I'm not saying they were intending to go this route, but instead of the alternative of completely reworking the area from concept onward.
Right.
So, and that's the kind of thing that I think most people kind of think about when they think about graphical reworks. They think of things in terms of like the old Sears Village rework that they kind of canned. Like, you remember the concept from that? They had all new designs for almost every single building. Camelot Castle was like integrated into the mountain, which was kind of flowing into the village a little bit. And it just completely reworked the layout of the area. And that means they have to change all the interacts. They have to make sure everything for all the quests is up to date and all that is in sync. Whereas with these updates, things are kind of just staying in the same place, and they're updating textures and lighting and all these other effects that can bring the existing geometry up to a level where it kind of just looks better. Like, I mean, we had the example of Shiloh Village. You saw the buildings there. They kind of work with either style.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what reason do they really have to rework many of these areas? And, like, what reason does Jagex have to throw money at that if they can just have a couple of their artists go in and do this? And it's basically, you know, it's that bang for the buck with these kind of updates that they're going for.
You're getting 80% of the way there with doing a whole lot less work.
And that extra 20% is insanely dense. So,
yeah,
it's getting it to that 80%, I think, is a really good mark to be hitting with it.
Yeah, and that's something that Sirion actually also picked up on, so I'm glad that you mentioned that, is that when it comes down to this at the end of the day, it looks like an entirely different game, but at the same time, you get so much for this compared to, like you said, just reworking something completely from concept, which, you know, the players might not like how it would look, or it might get derailed by various other things along the way.
So, and also, I have a sneaking suspicion that Maud Blackwitch did her thing with Lumbridge in the free-to-play area.
Sure.
And then that was seen, and Jagex decided to allow her to do more of that with more of the world because of how successful that was. And,
Because I think these were fairly recent game jam projects. I think these were probably like the December game jam, if I remember correctly.
Do we know for sure if this specific update for them was just game jam? Or
it says it's at the top at the top of the news post. Game jam, Mod Alex and Mod Blackwitch.
Because the impression I was getting from this update, it's just such a big update. It just seems like they would have just actually give them some development.
Right, And that's where the question of trees comes in, because how many palm trees and whatnot there are on Karamja, right? Like, do you have to go through and manually update each and every one of them? Or can you just go into like an environment file maybe or something to that effect and say, replace these trees with these newly updated models or something to that effect? I wonder how that goes in their engine.
I assume all trees are instances. So they can just update that one parent, and then all of them kind of update, but I don't know.
But they all kind of look different, too, though.
Yeah. So. Well, then there's ways you can do variants of that. And then, like an instance variation that, I highly doubt they have to go tree by tree.
Yeah, take all the trees out and replant them kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I don't... literally replant them.
And we got to definitely not.
You got to put your palm tree seed in the ground, and you know, Shane would be really good at that.
Yeah.
Maybe they should hire you for these reworks, Shane.
Oh God, no! I would not be the person for that. I would not be the person Shane, for that. What
is the reason our trees haven't been updated? Your fault.
But you know,
haven't been planting.
Yeah, I haven't been planting my trees properly. That's what it is.
Come on, Shane, get with it.
I do want to touch on one thing that did come up with this, and this is what the bug report feature is for. There are reports that a number of clues, specifically a few clue spots on Karamja, that needed you to dig at a certain spot or interact with something there, were not working this week after this update.
Ooh.
So that is something that they're aware of, and we'll take all the bug reports for on this. So if you encounter anything that is missing or anything that's interfering with gameplay, I suspect the biggest thing would probably be clues, in that you wouldn't be able to walk on a certain area maybe, or you just can't get to where your clue needs to be. Send in a bug report for that, and they'll look at that, because as good as these updates are, we just need to, of course, make sure that everything works at the end of the day when they hit the live server. But I think given what we've had so far this week and the reaction we've had so far this week, it's actually turned out pretty well on this front. So
yeah, I would agree.
I'm actually just looking at the Lumbridge Swamp right now. What about this one? I feel like this one also needed to be done in a big, meaningful way, because we spent a lot of time on Karamja, but the Lumbridge Swamp, I think, needed to be done just because it was so dark before, whereas this allows it to be dark, but allows there to be variances in lighting. And once again, even in somewhere that's dark, has added a certain amount of contrast to it.
Yes. I think it's a lot better.
And of course, Shattered Worlds is sitting there looking wonderful, too, with the glow from each of the portals like that.
I really like how it feels like in the Lumber Swamp, like the fog's almost like blowing.
Yeah. Like that's actually really cool, a good point.
Yeah.
And
it's got that really nice atmospheric feel to it now, instead of just being kind of dark.
And my only complaint with this is, of course, you can see the desert there, but I understand that that's a limitation of NXT and how they can block certain areas from being seen from great distances and whatnot. So
this brings me to another point that I have.
All right.
And Lumbridge Swamp is a great place to illustrate this, but I think this update has actually highlighted a bit of, I think, an engine thing with RuneScape that kind of it's glaring to me when I'm walking around. But sometimes with the fog, when you've got a distant object, like when you're standing in Lumber Swamp after the update and you see the Wizard's Tower,
yeah,
it just looks like a green tower. Fog should usually kind of get a little bit brighter as, you know, you go into the distance. In some areas here, there it literally gets darker. Lumber Swamp is not one of those. But that's something that I feel like this update is kind of almost highlighting a bit. And I'm not trying to say this is on the artist or anything. This seems like purely a RuneScape engine thing.
Yeah, it would be an engine thing in terms of how fog
is. It seems like they really only have the ability to set distance, like fog as distance fog. So it kind of gets more opaque as you get more distance. And it looks like they also can't even really do gradients with that. They can just kind of like pick a color.
Yeah.
So that's when you get these scenarios like in Lumbridge where you want to have that, you know, green fog, but then the Wizard's Tower comes in and then when you look up at the sky, you see the green fog cast on the Wizard's Tower and it just
Looks the important thing is to pay attention to the horizon there. You see that the horizon is the same, whether it's the horizon you see in the distance over the desert, over the water, or at the Wizard's Tower.
Except some places it's not. And that's where this also kind of gets a little weird. Because oftentimes in RuneScape, and this is not a new issue, the fog kind of doesn't match the skybox in the background. And that's just something that's a tiny bit jarring to me. That I feel like I've just seen a lot more places after this update than before.
Does that have anything to do with their cube map update they did a while back?
I don't think so. The cube maps are essentially like a skybox that only the materials on your character read. So it's not something you really see visually.
All right, fair.
But yeah, just something I thought I'd mention. And because that kind of ties into the whole thing of, well, we can see the desert right next to Lumbered Swamp. You know, that's not something that would really happen in many other games.
No.
I wonder if there's something Jagex could do to kind of like bring in the visibility when you get to these specific areas that kind of have their own identity and kind of like make it so you don't see as much of the surrounding scenery and the lighting can kind of be honed in on that area.
Yeah.
That's something I've thought about things like this a lot with RuneScape and how they could kind of artificially make their world feel bigger without making it bigger.
Like I remember a discussion on that from the NXT beta in particular, mm-hmm. where they did that for a number of areas where if you would set NXT to ultra draw distance, you would be able to see things, you know, that were, you know, an ocean away, so to speak. And they did adjust it for those situations. But there's other areas that are a lot closer, like there, like we had in the Lumbered Swamp combined with the Alcarid Desert there, that almost made them seem as though they were still too close. And if they could do that there, you're right, that would greatly improve the immersion on that. But I don't know what the limitation or conditions on that are. So, but
man, I'd kill to play around with the RuneScape engine. It's probably so interesting.
I mean,
like, just to know how this stuff works.
Right. And I mean, you know, we need to be 100% clear to the listeners that we're dealing with a proprietary engine that was built in the early 2000s and has been iterated on every year since then. And as fun as that would be, it's something that isn't going to happen. But for people like you who are environment artists and have been playing RS since, you know, way back when, it would definitely be a fun project to be able to dabble with. And that goes to the same thing about, hey, why can't we, you know, just convert RuneScape to the Unreal Engine sort of thing? But then we get into all the sorts of things. Well, you know, it's all about the tick system and it's all about the grid-based movement. And if you did that and you put the same assets in, RuneScape would pretty much look the same in most places, is what I think the line was set on that. But another graphical update we had with this was Rimington and the Mudskipper Point as well. And this was more of a, you know, just update the lighting, update the skyboxes in as well. With that, also just update some of the palm trees that were hanging around there too. So ground textures as well, Rimington brings that in, and it just, it almost makes it feel like this is an area you could send somebody off the new tutorial boat and they'd, you know, fit right in, and it would feel consistent to how, say, even the Davendale tutorial looked going back to that. So
it's literally the same grass and flowers as that.
Yeah, and that's probably why I thought of that.
Yeah, no, it's the same material setup. It's the same foliage, same flowers. Like these purple flowers I'm seeing here near Port Serum. I've seen that Dave and Dell area. Yeah,
good.
And that's good. Like they're literally putting this new material kit they have across the world, which is great.
Yeah. Then after that, we go to Taverly and Burthorpe. I wasn't under the impression that these areas needed a graphical update, but Skybox's and lighting has been improved there as well as on White Wolf Mountain. And I think the interesting thing, and you know, we saw some discussion about this, I think when the game jam was happening, or maybe in a pre-release up to the pre-release of the update here, I think Mod Blackwitch asked what people would think if the Burthorpe skybox was reverted to something a little bit more gloomy. And they did that. And if I remember correctly, when Burthorpe came out way, way, way back when, it was a situation where it was actually dark and gray there. But when it became the tutorial area, it became light and cheery. So I think they met in the middle on this one and just chose something that wasn't as bright as Taverly, but also kind of harkened back to how Burthorpe would have felt when you first landed there back in the day. It's something I'd suggest going to look at, because the first thing I thought of, and this is obviously a way more extreme example, the first area I thought of when seeing just the tones in use here was Goshima in the Eastern Lands.
Yeah, that's not extreme at all. It's pretty similar. I mean,
yeah, it's almost as though it's just the coloring layer on top that, mm-hmm. that's almost missing from it. So
it's got like the same motif going on as that.
Yeah,
and also the rain in Berthold.
Yes, that's there too. That's there too.
That's very cool to see.
And that shows why we never got the weather system in game too, because the weather is baked into the environment model there, and you can't just have it rain randomly in certain areas. So,
it makes Burthorpe feel really nice.
Yeah,
makes me happy to see.
And then the druid circle where you buy the Herblore cape. That's a nice wooded area. You can really get a sense now of how big the trees are. And this is actually something I wanted to address with this, and it's visible in some of the screenshots that Jagex posted too. The way the lighting casts the shadow on the trees is different. It feels as though it was a lot more top down in how it was before, whereas with this lighting, you can actually see that the trees are now casting their shadows on the ground. I don't know if you noticed that.
I think I know what you're saying. I think the lighting was positioned like directly above before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And yeah. You know, that just creates another level of realism, I'd say, on that.
Yeah.
And I don't even know at this point what else there is to say about this, because it feels like we're doing so much with so little here. And you know, even the flowers and whatnot we're seeing by the Lady mm-hmm. of the Lake and the water lilies and all that other fun stuff like that. I'm wondering where those lily platforms came from, because I don't think those were in Davendale, were they?
Not sure.
Or if which they were, would have been made specifically for this. The water lilies at Lady of the Lake by the balloon.
May run
real quick. Yeah.
I have one thing I want to say about Burthorpe real quick though.
I
really like how the lighting is kind of helping separate Burthorpe and Taverly a little bit more.
Yeah.
Differentiating.
So yeah, that needs to be done, I think.
That really needed to happen, because when they did that big old rework of Taverly Burthorpe back in the day where it became the tutorial area, they kind of combined the two. And I think it was last year they re-separated them a bit again by adding that forest in between.
Yeah.
And when they did that, I was a big fan of that update, because it kind of reestablished Taverly and Burthorpe as these separate entities, but they still felt the same. You'd walk up there and it just felt like you're in the same town, but now it feels different. It feels like when I walk up to Burthorpe, I'm in a different town. And that's just two thumbs up for me for this area. Like,
yeah,
that was something that kind of bothered me about Taverly and Burthorpe before, but happy accident, fixed it. Yay.
Totally. But Anything else?
Yeah, I'm not sure about these lilies. But
these ones right here. I had to go get some extra footage
were
on that.
Were these on Aya?
Oh, maybe.
Or Hetz Oasis, maybe?
I don't think they're Hetz. I spent a lot of time there. Maybe.
I haven't, so.
I don't know. I'm sure somebody will be able to figure that out along the way.
Oh, fun fact, though. The tree on Mudskipper Point is half the old tree and half an Anachronia tree.
Oh.
The trunk looks like, I'm pretty sure that's literally the old tree there.
Right. I remember our discussion from the Maud Black Witch behind the crown. She said that the trees are actually two parts. You have the base of the tree and then the top canopy of it.
Yeah, it looks like they put the Anachronia tree part on the one that was existing already.
Okay.
Which, creative approach. Big fan. It even moves.
I did not notice that on my first pass through there.
But I just gotta say, I gotta hand it to the environment artists and everyone who kind of worked on this project. This is insanely good. And I cannot imagine all the creative things they had to do and little tricks they had to do to kind of make all this work and look the way it does right now. So, Mud Black Witch, Mud Alex, this is insane. Y'all are amazing.
Chef's kiss moment.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. And, you know, we of course have some samples of that on the video version of the show, but also there's a good series of A and B photos on the news post from this week, just showing how stark some of the changes are. And you know, you can really see it in Burthorpe. You can really see it on Karamja as well, amongst many others. So in total, in the news post, they said that's updates to Karamja, Crandor, Burthorpe, Taverley, Rimington, Mudskipper Point, Southern Asgarnia, the Lumbridge Swamp, Catherby, and Deep Breath, some extra little tweaks to Drainer and Port Sarum. Oh my god. That's a ton. That's a ton. I also want to point out that this is the last moment, or it has been gone, but this is the last moment for the old RuneScape 2 tree models. There were only two of these left in-game, and they were right off the boat in the free-to-play area of Karamja. Those have been removed with this update. Those trees had been there since 2004, and they were one of my trivia points that I'd always go to with people and saying, you know, there's actually a couple of really old trees that still haven't been removed from the game. Do you know where they are?
Hey, Shane?
Yeah.
Have you been to Zanaris?
Oh, they're still... Oh, yeah. They still got those there. Okay.
Hate to burst your bubble.
But does that count, though? It's a different... It's the moon.
Okay, maybe not. Fine. The old trees are on the moon.
They could stay there. Hey, but if there's
They will always be there.
But if there's ever another fairy quest, that's an option.
No, please keep them. I don't want to change that.
All right. Is there anything else, Tanis, you'd like to throw in from this update before we move on?
No, I just think it came together well. It was very well executed.
Yeah. And, you know, I also have to give credit out there to the production team at Jagex for this, because, again, we're seeing these updates that are shipped that could be their own standalone updates, like they're dropping them right now. But in the past, I feel like we would have had, you know, a game jam update week where they just would have dropped everything on us. But I do think it's actually really good to be saving parts of these pieces of game jam content to just kind of put them out in their own segments, to kind of give them their own spotlight in the sun, like Mod Stew's got, and now we're seeing here with these graphical updates. So I'm very pleased with how they've been shipping these out. So, Zant, any comments on lighting, skyboxes, any of the areas else before we go?
I think I just about covered it. But yeah, again, just shout out to Jags and Fireman Art team. Y'all killed it with this.
Yeah,
and especially given that this was in y'all's free time too. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That really shows that they care and like just want this world to look good. So that's what you love to see.
What's your favorite then? I think that's a good way to end the segment. What's your favorite?
It's Karamja. It needed it. It looks great. And I am not disappointed with it in any way whatsoever. I'm so satisfied with it. It feels like the Karamja update I've wanted. So,
all right, Tanis.
I mean, I have to say Karamja too. I think it was the starkest difference. You can, it really stands out. And I have to go Karamja.
All right, sounds good. I feel like I have to be the contrarian and just be different here.
Fair.
I have to go for Karamja as well. Just the feeling of walking through there, it felt like a different game when doing it in a good way. I need to underscore that because, you know, there's a lot of times you can say if something feels like a different game, that could necessarily be a negative thing. But I feel like this was a good thing in this case, just how in terms of it felt. And, you know, one of the things that I would go back to in terms of other games, just playing other games, I was walking through the dense jungle on the way to the nature altar. And I would say the closest thing that felt to from other games would be Valheim. I don't know if either of you guys have dabbled with that, but it almost felt Valheim-like in that. You know, this is an environment that could go into a RuneScape-themed survivalish kind of game.
You know, that's interesting because I've always thought Valheim kind of looks like RuneScape.
Yeah. There's some similarities to that, to how they do things, and there's it's actually got some really interesting crossovers for anybody who likes RS and is wanting a survival game. I would say have a look at Valheim, just in terms of how they do their skills and whatnot. So. But that's a topic for another day.
Oh, so, real quick. Helpful. I wanted to honorable mention Catherby. For the specific reason that White Wolf Mountain looks so much better now. Like, it went from literally being, it looked like the flat, like, terrain ground got sculpted up to a mountain, but now it has actual, like, mountain assets and, like, rocks and stuff up there that I bet took a long time to do. So, it's... Yeah, honorable mention to that.
Okay, yeah.
That's solid up into the mountain. I think that's one of the first times we've had like a nice, you know, developed mountain like that in RuneScape. That,
like, you know,
rocks coming off of it and stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't seeing much in that when I was walking at the ground level, so I didn't actually venture to go up. But I did see they had the screenshot of the updated skybox and the lighting. With that, but I guess you can also see some of the geometry there too, so it kind of just flows really nicely from that perspective.
One of my pet peeves with that area before was like the little rocks in the middle of town would just be the ground, but they'd just be painted a different bit and kind of raised up a bit.
Okay.
It just did not look like a rock, and now they're actual rocks. So yeah, that's honorable mention to Catherby and White Wolf Mountain.
Wonderful. Well, I have to thank some Patreon supporters. But before we do that, we dropped our monthly bit this week on the evolution of transportation. And as we have been doing with these monthly bits, I have a clip to share with you guys from that monthly bit right now before we thank our Patreon supporters. The Patreon supporters get access to this full episode and 57 other monthly bits, an entire back catalog of bonus shows, and this is what we talk about. We talk about one or two key RuneScape things for about an hour or so and dive deep into them. So this one was on the evolution of transportation. In RS Classic, there was no run option.
I'm so glad I did not play RS Classic. It would have ruined me for RS, like, for life.
Hang on. Which of you guys here played RS Classic? Just me, right?
I did.
You did? Okay.
I did. That was my introduction to it, yeah.
Taxi?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Ah, you young ones.
You're calling Tanis a young one?
Yes. Get pulled in. You didn't play it. In terms of RuneScape, yes.
It's fair.
But when it comes down to it, you look at the agility and resting update, that's when things really started to change, I think, because prior to this, you relied on, you know, magic teleports, jewelry teleports, quest unlocks, the portal room in your POH. That was a big deal. Desert treasure unlocking some of the spells there was a big deal if you wanted to go, you know, to the northern wilderness in some areas like the dig site and whatnot. But
like the Explorer's Ring too, I think came out. Oh yeah,
the Explorer's Ring. That's a good one. And then
that was a huge deal. That was a year before the Run Energy Change. Yeah, yeah.
I remember getting that and was like, "Oh my goodness, an infinite teleport!"
Plus the run recovery. Yeah, it's got run recovery on it. Yeah.
Oh, and that too. Yes.
Energy recovery.
And then, I hope it's clear about where we started on this, because we also, I didn't mention this, but there's also the Lunar Spellbook that came out as well, and that was added in 2006 with a bunch of teleports associated with it, and then a further expansion of it a couple years later on that. You wind up in a situation here where the game was heavily oriented to reward unlock transportation mechanics, and then we get this Run Energy update, and then things start to change on that, and that's kind of where we dip our foot into the modern era of getting around RuneScape. Forgive the 15-20 minute history lesson on this, but it's at
the episode is called The Evolution.
I mean, you did kind of sign up for a history lesson, I guess. So with that, we really have been looking at the past history of transportation up until 2009 at this point, and that Run Energy update is really what started to change things, and that's where we dip our feet into the modern era. We, of course, continued to have things like the addition of jewelry teleports in terms of new necklaces and new items on that front, fairy rings, more spirit trees added, quests requiring you to get to specific areas around the world, and crafting in effect became the utility skill for that. And I feel like I have to mention the teleportation compactor that came out with Invention on this huge list of jewelry teleports here for this, in terms of in effect just providing this huge collection of teleports that you could use to get around the game world at this point, just to have these on your person, as well as the portable fairy ring, the spirit tree rerouter. I don't know. How do you guys feel about those invention-y kind of items like that, like the portable fairy ring and the spirit tree rerouter?
I mean, it's like a pocket nexus, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're definitely really nice, and we're going to come back to this, I'm sure, but they're really nice for clue doers, and they were really nice for getting around the game world. I definitely, like, I used some of those for, like, when I was farming. I did, like, to get to, like, the mushroom patch, getting to that fairy ring in near Canifis was really nice.
Interesting.
I've never really used them. Like, I almost wish they had more of a use, but, yeah, I guess...
I mean, well, there's a lot of fairy rings in-game, and, like, if you need to get really close to something on a repetitive basis...
Yeah, no, it makes a little sense, so...
And,
yeah,
and
the third thing is...
It makes me almost wish that, you know, because, like... I find myself going to more modern locations in the game, typically, right? Like, I visit the fort more often than the GE, I would say. But, like, that's
what about the max guild
on the fairy ring network, right? So, I wonder if these items would get more use if we made sure that new locations get sort of patched into existing transportation networks.
I think that's a good question, but you might run into...
Why does the train between Dorgesh Khan and Keldergrim not go also to the Invention Guild? Because we want more trains in the game.
That's a good... I mean, that,
I want,
yeah, that's
I,
a good
more
question.
Trains.
And there's your preview for the monthly bid, everybody. There's about another hour and 10 minutes on that about... transportation, starting back when RS2 came out, looking at the methods that were added along the way to where we are now, and what that means for the game of RuneScape. I'm not going to necessarily spoil what our grand realization was for that, but in general, what happens on these monthly bits is that we sit down and we start talking about something, and then we all learn something throughout the entire process. And that's what these monthly bits are about. They're the monthly Patreon bonus show that's chosen exclusively by our Patreon members. So give them a big thank you for that. Tanis, any thoughts on that since we recorded that a couple days back that you'd like to just throw in about it?
I mean, I was looking forward to the bit. Transportation's a big, you know, that's one of those big issues in RuneScape. And I think we came around. We did what we always do. Like you said, we have a big reveal. I had a big reveal at the end. I really think I figured out why I feel the way that I feel about transportation in RuneScape. And I like to think everyone else did as well.
Yeah, yeah, it needed to happen. And, you know, we invite the listeners to comment on these. We invite the Patreon members to also suggest topics for future monthly bids. Zant, you have any thoughts based on that brief preview of what we discussed there?
I like trains.
A lot of us do. But this week, the people that have made that episode and all of our other episodes possible are Alfie S., Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L., Beekeeper Steve, Big Huge Rat, Chunk the Monk, Cycle RS, Drama Free, Duramax, Free Milk, Jacob G., Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jeebus, Jesse W., Keski, Ling01, Mohan V., Nate the Great, Nick G., Pernasius, Ricky A., RS Nerdherd, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Shirt Pants, Stub Eve, The Naked Captain, The Dabbin' Goat, Tim, Tom V, Zant, and Zazicon. Thank you, everybody, for your support. It truly means the world to us. That brings us episodes like our monthly bit, like each and every show that we do, and just all the extras we do around here each and every month. A big thank you goes out to everybody. And if you want to hear that monthly bit or any of the other ones that we've recorded, we've talked about our skill tier list, our daily scape tier list. That was one of the big ones. Or you can go back even further to monthly bit one. We talked about the evolution of combat, and that's one that'll probably still stand up today. It sold Sirion, who was a skeptic about the evolution of combat at the time, on the system, and that's precisely what the monthly bits do. They provide these big opportunities for discussion, and we all learn something we might not think we would learn. And I always go back to one of yours from last year's Tanis Legacy Mode, Legacy Combat.
Yep, that was well served, and it was the motivation I had to get the Animate Dead and the Crypt Bloom and all of that stuff. And then I also used Legacy when we started doing Fresh Start. So, yeah.
Learning experiences all around, but there's pretty much a monthly bid for everybody, and that's for as little as $1 a month. We also have our VIP tier for $3 a month, where you get a special shout-out on the podcast at the start of the month, the Discord rank, and access to a chat channel, and also high-quality stereo versions of the show each and every week. And if you want to give the ultimate gift, we have our insider tier for $5 a month, where you receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week, and with that, you also gain access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show at the end of the year, which were actually some clips from this monthly bit that you'll be hearing in this week's Patreon feed. So patreon.com/RSVNB. Thanks so much, everyone. All right. All right. Yak Track time. How's it going?
Very slow. It has been a slog this time.
You don't say.
Mm-hmm. And apparently, we had mentioned this last week or the week before, and I was not surprised to see changes come, but I was surprised to see it happen this time around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, while it was still happening.
So, what we of course had to just bring everybody into the loop who doesn't do Yak Track or doesn't interact with the monetization events like that. Last Yak Track came out, what was it, like 6 or 7 weeks ago at this point? No, 8 weeks ago, I think. It was at the end of February, actually, that it came out, if I remember correctly. So that's pushing 10 weeks. Can you believe that?
Not with the progress I have, no.
And that's why Yaktrak has been extended for another 4 weeks until June. Mm-hmm. until June.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting this, and I can see this, and I think it's good that they listen to the players on this. But oh my god, if you have to extend the Yaktrak another 4+ weeks until June 11th, we gotta have a serious conversation about why they did what they did.
Well, you know, sometimes it's always good to try things, but it's also very good to realize when you tried something that maybe didn't hit the mark. Or, you know, could have, you might need to try a different way.
Yeah.
And this one, for me, Yaktrak was like, it's one of those things, like, it wasn't broke. So I'm not sure why we were trying to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, now I understand we're trying to sell skips and, you know, so on and so forth. It is a monetization method, but it worked better as, you know, being a shorter, self-contained kind of program. I mean, I just feel like what we had worked well. This made it so long that you lost motivation.
Oh yeah, I mean, I hit
just hard.
I hit task 59 on Sunday, and I was, you know, okay, I'm not doing any more of this. I'm throwing in the towel. This is ending. This is ending tomorrow. It's ending in a week. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm done with this for this time. And I was gonna, you know, throw in the towel because I wasn't gonna complete it, and I just didn't want to, you know, there was nothing really I needed in the final 10 tasks. So I was just gonna say, yeah, that's enough of this one. It's becoming torturous. So I was gonna do that, but now that it's extended for another 4+ weeks, I'm doing the task A's, and it's gonna get done. But oh my, I have to wonder what the internal metrics looked like on this.
Oh, I bet people weren't really
interacting.
Yeah.
Right, because interaction then leads to sales either in the premium track or in skips. So if you don't have that interaction, you're losing out.
And if people hit a wall to where they feel like, well, I'm not going to be able to do this anyway,
why
you're not going to sell your skips. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm going to go do PVM instead kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I just can't imagine. Oh, hi.
Yeah. There's still time for you to go get an orange cat.
Yeah. I already have one. It really seems to me like Yaktrak, they experiment a lot with it. Like, I'm sure they're in the back end there seeing what all these little changes they make to it do to the number that they get from it. And personally for me, when I see a 70 task Yaktrak, that's just no thanks. I'm good. Like, I'm a pretty lazy person when it comes to Yaktrak to begin with. And it takes a lot of motivation for me to get through one. Like, it takes a serious reward that looks really good to me. Probably one that's purple. And I just can't imagine that there aren't other players who are in a similar place to me like that, who see that and are just like, ugh, I don't want to do that. And I don't even think it's a matter of how much time you have. I just don't want to work 70 tasks through the same task. It's through the same Yaktrak. That's just, it's too much.
It's a matter of what else you could be doing in your time. Because, you know, I've not been on old school because of this. I have not been doing PVM because of this. Because there's no marks of war tasks, right? And most of the bosses you kill in their XP rates, depending on what you're killing, some of the bigger ones, you're not going to, you know, be doing those in 3 minutes or less. You'd have to, you know, do something like God Wars 2.
And I'm going to be real, like, basically none of the other rewards besides cosmetics do anything for me at this point nowadays.
Yeah,
like,
that's another good thing. I mean, it's for the cosmetics at this point, because if I look at my bank, I have combat training dummies and skill training dummies and all that just coming out of my ears.
I have a whole tab of that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm never going to use it. So.
And I have to believe that it can't all be from Treasure Hunter, because those kinds of things aren't that common on Treasure Hunter, like the dummies and the skill training dummy crates. So,
yeah.
and you know, with this, you also get an extra week to buy things from the Yak Track coin shop as well, which is another contentious point that these Yak coins that we earned over this period are still going to go away a week after the Yak Track ends. So you put all this time in, and you can't even let them accrue and roll over to the next one.
Yeah, I think that needs to be fixed. That's a real sticky point in my book.
That is literally them just wanting more money out of it. I'm going to be real here. Like,
oh yeah, 100%. And you know, I feel like there was a time where there was maybe an internal consideration when this thing was still Rune Pass that it could replace Treasure Hunter. But I think we've known. Yeah, I get that chuckle. I think we know that given how insane some of these Treasure Hunter promos are, as we both experienced in Fresh Start Worlds, Tannis, that's not happening.
Well, no.
I mean, I hate to break it to people, but dirty little secret here. People like their XP on Treasure Hunter.
Well, yeah, like you blew my brain. You said that when it came to Fresh Start, you put, what was it? You bought the 450 key pack, but that was just the beginning for a lot of the people you knew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, I did that twice.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, and I was a light spender compared to some of my other friends. So,
And that's why just, you know, Yak Track as a monetization method doesn't cut it. Whereas you flip to other games like Overwatch and Apex Legends, just to name a couple of them, they have their battle passes, and that's one of their main ways they monetize. And they have battle passes that, you know, run for, you know, similar amounts of time, the season battle passes, and players aren't expected to complete those. But it comes down to what the RuneScape player sees as completionism, in that things like that need to be completed. Things like that need to be completed. It's about checking off the box and having all the unlocks.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's where things get kind of wonky on that. So, I mean, I have to ask at this point, do you guys say we go for the longer track with, you know, pushing almost 4 months, three and a half months, like we had with this one? Or do we go back to how it used to be? 8 weeks with 50 tasks.
Yeah, I think it's the 50 tasks.
Same. Over 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why they did this? They did this, like you said, to sell more skips, to put those Yak coins in-game, to entice people to interact with it. And maybe, you know, just purchase the skips to get those Yak coins to get the cosmetics at the end. Because there's no way you're going to buy out this entire shop unless you were spending huge amounts of time on it. And I want to address the other side of this too, actually, while we're here. Because I know there's numerous people in our friends chat and Clan Quest and whatnot who completed this Yak Track in, you know, the first week and a half. And to you guys, amazing, amazing stuff. You guys must play lots of RuneScape. And that's okay. But I think for the vast majority of players out there, they're not in that camp. They're not doing that.
No.
And
I don't know how you can.
Right. And you know, I view you as a litmus test for this because you play RuneScape on mobile. And I think you play more RS than I do, even at this point, because you use mobile in addition to the desktop stuff. Whereas yes. I'm primarily just desktop.
Yeah.
So that tells a story right there, and maybe it's just a question of mentality in that case, that battle passes need to be built with the expectation you won't complete them, but I don't think that'll fly for most of the people who play this game. So that's where we're at.
I have a bit of a hot take.
Do it.
Well, maybe not a hot take. I think the big issue with incentivizing people to do Yak Track and kind of shifting some of that monetization over to that, I don't think the cosmetics are anywhere near good enough for what they would need to rely on that. And it's not even just, I'm not talking about the quality of them. I'm talking about the amount, the variety, the types, I mean, we get these Yak Tracks with a very slim motif.
It's the limitation of the engine.
I don't even think it's... I'm talking about the different swords and stuff they're putting out. Every Yak Track has this really hard-coded theme to it. And...
Oh, like
style,
where it's a probably, sword, a bow,
yeah,
crossbow,
or it's
maybe.
A sword of this color and this style. And I bet, like, maybe even not even 1% of players are even interested in that stuff. Like, I feel like we need stuff that can be, like, more personalized to the player. Like, give us recolorable shit. Give us, like, more ability, like, overrides and stuff like that. Give us more crazy stuff like that that actually makes us want to do it.
Hey, we got one of those in Treasure Hunter right now.
Don't screw Treasure Hunter. Don't put him on Treasure Hunter. Put him on Yak Track. Put him at Taft. Freaking 375 or something. Just come on, like,
yeah, and just, I get it.
It's like they're afraid to move things away from Treasure Hunter, and I feel like if they do, they're gonna benefit from it if they do. I think I don't have the numbers, but from what I see, it just feels that way. It feels like they have this. It feels like they honestly have this hard-on for Treasure Hunter. Like, I don't know how else to put it. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, right now in Treasure Hunter, you got the Woodland Archer outfit and the Ranger Roll walk animation. The Ranger Roll walk animation is the thing that's going to be the gamble one. That's, you know, going to be your less than 1% drop. And then as you use Treasure Hunter over the next week or so, you have a chance at picking up pieces of this Woodland Archer's outfit. And then we had a bit of a discussion in our Discord on this about how, you know, eventually you will get the Woodland Archer outfit, but the Ranger Walk is going to be another one of those rare items to that. And maybe you're right, Zan. Maybe it does come down to ability overrides, walk animations, and things that are recolorable that people want to use for this.
Or hell, even come up with new ideas for things they can sell like that. I mean, there have been tons of ideas that people have thrown around on, you know, the site that shall not be named, of things that people would want cosmetics wise that have just never really happened. And I feel like they just don't tap into that enough. It's like they think people care so much about XP, 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 XP. We just load them up with XP on these Yak Tracks and then want to do it. I just don't think that really does.
No, the people who are that concerned about XP who aren't playing and who want the supplemental XP, they're in Tanis's camp, like you said. They're buying multiple 450 key packages.
And, yeah, you know, when I'm scrolling through Yak Track, there's no rewards that I would, like, stand out usually. And I'm like, I want that, unless it's something that's, like, literally for my immediate outfit I'm wearing. But right. When you're, like, playing a game, like, the recent one for me, I played Fortnite recently, and when I scroll through a battle pass, and then I can pick out, like, several things on each page. I'm like, ooh, I want that. I want that. Yeah. But that's because the items that they have in their battle pass are ones that actually kind of have an impact on your gameplay. I mean, they've designed their cosmetic system in such a way that they are very big pieces of content that you unlock from that in terms of your customization. Whereas in RuneScape, it's like, oh, another outfit. Thanks. Like,
yeah.
I don't have enough of those.
Right. And then it comes to the point of, you know, how easily can you break that level of immersion with RS? Because I know Fortnite takes it to a pretty strange degree where they've had, haven't they had characters from the Marvel universe appear in their battle pass that you can run around as?
Yeah. And that's cool and everything. That's not even what it's really about to me. It's just about the fact that their battle pass is basically all really high quality cosmetics and stuff like that. And it works. I mean, I understand that's a completely different game that doesn't have this whole XP system in it.
Do you think we'd be
and everything.
Do you think we'd be having a different conversation if we had cloth textures, cloth physics?
Absolutely.
Hair.
I think.
And updated player model.
This is why I feel like they're selling themselves so short by not going for that rework as soon as they can. Because the second all these characters get updated to that new model, just imagine what the cosmetics on Yak Track are going to be like. Like, I'd imagine they'd want to put more resources into character arts and stuff like that and just pump out a shit ton of cosmetics with that. But honestly, like, seeing their approach to doing it, I don't even know if they would do that.
Right,
they,
and the reason for that is that RS3 is the XP-focused PVM game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Treasure Hunter says, and that's why we're where we're at. I think this is
a PVM game, I but think once we, you get to the point where you're doing only PVM, you basically don't care about the XP anymore.
Right, and I mean, then I think the game system limits you to how you can look with that, and that's where we're at right now. So
I feel like you know, I'm not a crazy PVMer, but that's basically all I do in RuneScape when I log in anymore. I don't train skills or anything like that. So when I'm just getting a bunch of XP from a track, it's just whatever. You know, like I said before, I basically just want the cosmetics, and I highly doubt I'm alone there.
Yeah, and I mean, I use it for the cosmetics and for guiding me about what to do and where to play in game.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. You're right. There does need to be a substantial redesign to Yak Track, I think, on that. Tanis, anything before we go on that? Because I feel like this was another of our mini monthly bits unintentionally. Thank you, Zan.
No, I will be happy if it goes back to the original 50 in the original time frame. I think it worked better. This was an experiment that was worth doing, but didn't pan out.
All right, sounds good. Sounds good. All right, there were patch notes this week as well, and these patch notes go into specifically talking about changes that were made to Greater Sonic Wave, just to mention it, in addition to the graphical updates that were mentioned this week. Sonic Wave has been updated so that it now applies 6 stacks of flow for 3 seconds upon a successful hit. And of course, this can be chained with the chain ability, bringing that up to 42. And with that, that increases your hit chance by 1% per stack. And the 6% accuracy bonus on the next ability cast has been removed. Then moving on to Greater Sonic Wave, they upped the ability damage from 40 to 160 to a range of 60 to 170%, which increases the average damage of this by 15%. This also now applies 8 stacks of flow for 4.2 seconds. Flow increases your hit chance by 1% per stack, as it does with regular Sonic Wave, and your base ability damage by 1% per stack. They also remove the flat 100% ability damage that this gave, as well as the 6% accuracy boost. And for folks wondering how this makes sense with the new micro lesson, we did have a conversation with Thaxi on this, and his summation of this is that the old version was 100% average ability damage with a 4.2 second buff of about 4.5% damage for abilities per target hit. The new version of Greater Sonic Wave is 115% average damage plus 8% damage buff per target hit, which says base ability damage, which we're operating here under the assumption that it applies to more than basics, and this is probably just a quirk of the naming system. But this sounds like Jagex has heard our feedback and that Greater Concentrated Blast is a much better upgrade than this, and therefore, this will give it a little bit of extra oomph. The interaction with Greater Chain is even more important now than before with this ability, so it definitely does benefit from a manual rotation. But even without this, this is a fairly significant buff. When factoring in ability cost and channel versus single hit, he says, I'll personally be moving Greater Sonic Wave up one space on my two-handed Revolution +++ bar to sit between Corruption Blast and Asphyxiate. And that's what people were probably wondering about, people who watched our most recent micro lesson on YouTube about the action bars. So that's the summation on that. A little bit extra if you have the greater version of Sonic Wave, but if you still have base Sonic Wave, you're really not going to see too much of a boost from this. It's a nice buff, but it doesn't really bring it up in as meaningful a way as it does with the greater Sonic Wave version. So I think we're happy with where that landed on there. I'm assuming you guys don't have much of a comment on that, since this is largely combat ability based, math based.
No, although I do have Greater Sonic Wave.
Oh, good, you picked it up.
Yeah.
How are you liking it?
I mean, I like it because I primarily use the staff. I can't afford.
Yeah. That's exactly
wand
what
and
you
orb.
Want. That's exactly what you want.
Yeah.
All right. They also added the Azure Swiftness override to Greater Death Swiftness. Apparently, it wasn't working with that before for people who had Greater Death Swiftness. Oops. and pirate-themed cosmetic item unlock tokens that were recently re-released with Frank's Free Chest can now be purchased on the GE by Iron Man.
Hmm.
That's a bit of an interesting dissolution of how that class or subtype of character plays, isn't it? That they can purchase some things on the GE, but not everything.
Yeah, it's definitely odd.
But I mean, they're just cosmetics, so maybe it doesn't matter too much. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think it matters at all. It's just weird that you can even do it.
I feel like there needs to be a reckoning about what Iron Man stands for at this point.
Well, I mean, I thought we knew.
Yeah.
And then the waters got muddied.
But it's not immediately clear. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. All right. Well, before we wrap up, then we do have our achievements of the week. So let's move on to those. Zant, you want to start us off?
Sure. Starting off, we've got Samurai Jack with 120 cooking on May the 10th. We got Sparty Pants with 120 woodcutting also on May the 10th. And we've got Lady Claw with 120 divination on May the 9th.
Right on.
All right. Continuing on May the 9th, we have Malinoric with 120 agility. Ouch. I hope that was with feathers. and we also have That Engineer with 200 mil construction. My hero. Awesome. And that was on May the 8th.
All right. Then on the 7th, we have Juju Macon with 99 runecrafting. Lady Claw with 120 fletching on the 6th. Then the 4th, we have Psy Oasis with 120 thieving. Nicely done, everyone. And double XP's around the corner. So, Tanis, we're going to have people on the show to help us out with that.
We definitely are.
We will. We will. All right, pick of the week. What do you got for us?
So I got an interesting pick of the week. So if anybody has been listening to the show for a while, you will know that I am not your most conservative person. That is Shane. Politically, I'm much more in the progressive camp. But that being said, I have listened to a new song that was released this week by an artist named Tom McDonald. Now, Tom McDonald is much more conservative in his political takes than I am, but he put out a really catchy song. He makes some good points, and what I found to be most interesting was, it turns out, you know, he talks a lot about corruption himself. And so I find that to be, you know, common ground that really crosses all political identities. And the other thing is he is a solely independent, unsigned artist. He has done all of this on his own. His girlfriend shoots his videos. He writes the music. He does the raps. They mix it all themselves. He signs every album himself that, you know, goes out. So I have to respect that. But the new single is called Dirty Money. And it is about dirty money. It's got a really catchy chorus, and I can't help myself. I kind of like it.
That's good. And you know, it shows two things, I think. And the first thing that you were alluding to with this pick is that in the modern era, we're at a point where, honestly, I think a lot of people haven't really realized how untapped the internet can be in terms of freeing people from what used to be a production cycle that required businesses and whatnot to believe in you and to sell that. But no, in reality, at this point, all you need is the microphone, computer, and YouTube, and you're good to go, in all honesty, on that front. And we're seeing similar advancements in news and whatnot as well. And I don't think people have realize that to that degree, because we always view YouTube as sort of the fun thing that we go to wind down. To some people listen to this podcast on it. Some people just go there for, you know, their favorite RuneScape content creators. Some people, you know, might just go there for the shorts feed, just to name a few things for that. But in reality, the internet has completely changed the way you can do business on this. And it's people are still in a minority of how that goes, mainly because it's difficult to get started. And, you know, running businesses are difficult on that. And to see this kind of success from somebody who has decided to do this on their own, it honestly speaks volumes to what's capable today. So I'm really glad that you brought this forward as a pick of the week. It's not my style, but I think it's important to kind of showcase and highlight these sort of independent things that are happening with the internet, if I must say so myself.
Yeah, it's a breakdown of the traditional gatekeepers. And like I said, even though his views are very different from my own, I think it's good to kind of broaden your perspective sometimes and listen.
Yeah.
You know, to other stuff, and yeah, and it's catchy. At the end of the day, it's just music, right? And so,
yeah, and you know, on that, I don't think people should. I think it's a horribly bad thing for people to limit themselves to creators, to authors, to, you know, directors and whatnot who believe the same as they do, because you're missing out on, you know, at this point, unfortunately, at least on the American side, half of the population, right?
Yeah,
if you do that sort of thing. True. So, and you know, it doesn't work that way. And you and I always try and play things relatively straight here with RuneScape content. It probably comes out over episodes and episodes, but it's definitely not something that we try and do on that
front. Right.
So, okay. Now we of course do pre-show as the Patreon supporters know, because sometimes there's clips from pre-show and whatnot. I don't think there's any clips from this week's pre-show, but we had a wonderful discussion on AI this week, and in particular AI art. That's not the pick of the week this week, as much as people would like it to be. The pick of the week is a Mac application called Mac Whisper, and what this does is it uses OpenAI's transcription technology called Whisper to transcribe audio files. And here's where this gets interesting. You can pay them a license fee, or you can use it for free. But if you pay them for free, you can tell it who is speaking and when it is speaking. You can have it use more expansive and more complicated language models that will catch bigger words. It'll catch words that are strung together that might not necessarily otherwise stand out in the base model. And what this does is it lets you use an audio file or even a video, and it'll read the audio from it, and it generates a transcript on it. So what I've been doing is I've been working with this a little bit behind the scenes here on the podcast, and the first time we've actually employed this was on the most recent micro lesson. Now, our micro lessons are one of our most scripted pieces of content that we do. So it actually worked well for this. But, you know, and as with any script, there's going to be a couple of variations along the way. There's going to be extra pauses that were added in. And I ran this on Thaxi's most recent micro lesson on the action bars. And I only had to change a couple of the more RuneScape-centric words throughout this to make sure they had the right spelling and right casing on them. Otherwise, it got everything 100% right down to punctuation. And I don't know if people notice this, but we always made it a point to run with subtitles on the micro lessons. And that micro lesson was done by Mac Whisper. And eventually, if everything goes right, this week or next week, we'll be using Mac Whisper to provide full transcripts of RSBNB update.
That is awesome.
YouTube version.
That's great.
Yeah.
And that way you can have it without the YouTube auto-generated ones, which kind of suck.
Yeah. And Tanis, yeah, I wanted to spring this on you because I'm also going to upload it to the website. And I know how big that is for people like you. And
yeah,
also for Google.
No, this is huge. I mean, what a, hey, look at us with our accessibility updates. Hey.
Yay. RSBNB accessibility update. Roll the patch notes.
Yeah. Way to go, Shane.
And, you know, it's always good to provide an option of having the transcript, right? And to have the subtitles. But it's also something that we weren't able to really do that well of providing a searchable way for RSVP updates. Sure, we can put things in notes, but sometimes we say things in the shows that don't necessarily turn up in the show notes. So over time, I hope this will be something that we can work with. And where this actually gets really interesting is that this is a rarity and that this is not actually a subscription-based piece of software. It's a one-time fee, and it does it all locally on the computer.
Cool.
Yeah. And it, and apparently it's way faster on the Apple Silicon Macs because they have the Neural Engine built into it. So it's going to be interesting to see how long it takes to do the full episode of update, because it took about 15 minutes to do the transcript of the micro lesson. So yeah, I'll be making notes on that. But you can get this from a very long URL, goodsnooze.gumroad.com/MacWhisper, or just find the link in the show notes at update.show. But
probably the easier method.
Yeah, that's probably the easier method on the way of doing it. And with this, they're actually working on a feature designed specifically for podcasts, where they say you'll be able to transcribe podcasts by combining single track audio for each host as well. With
that. Oh, wow.
So you'd be able to feed it and say, this is Tannis, this is Shane, this is Zant, and away you go.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to playing around with this, and beyond English, if you get the pro model, you have access to pretty much every other common language out there. I mean, it mentions the big ones like English, Chinese, German, Spanish, Russian, Korean, French, Japanese, Portuguese, so on and so forth down the list. But yeah, amazing stuff these days with AI. And like I was saying in pre-show, just like the internet stuff where people really aren't utilizing the internet to the full potential, I think we're at the cusp of something really interesting for AI that a lot of people are not aware of yet. So it's something I'm definitely keeping my eye on. That's the pick of the week, Mac Whisper.
Awesome.
All right. What have you been up to on RS, or in general, Zant? Let's start with you.
Oh, I haven't been playing RS basically at all. I don't know. No reason why. Just kind of haven't been playing over the past couple months. Basically, only real reason I logged in was to check out the new graphics and, you know, did my Easter and stuff.
Yeah, but it's always good to keep up with those monthlies. And, you know, that's one thing, you know, we're always very cognizant of as well, as that, you know, everybody needs breaks from RS, I think, especially with the new skill on the way at some point in the next few months.
Yeah, I honestly think necromancy will get me back in.
Yeah, it's going to bring
archaeology did the same thing for me. I was at about 4 or 5 months prior to that where I was not playing much, and it got me hooked again.
Like, yeah, it's going to bring a lot of people.
Beyond RuneScape, though, some of you may know I moved to Central Oregon last year, and it is kind of high desert here, so it has just started getting warm finally. And I've been doing some outdoorsy stuff, which has been really cool. So
nice, perfect climate and region for that too.
Yeah, oh, it's been beautiful here this week, and next week we got straight 80s Fahrenheit, which I'm really hyped for. That's going to feel really nice with the dry air.
Yeah, you need to underscore that, given where you were coming from in the past.
Yeah. I came from the North Carolina coast.
Mm.
Enough said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. How about you, Tannis?
I've actually been playing quite a bit lately. So, you know, the two MMOs that I usually have going on at the same time are ESO and RuneScape. And I go back and forth to which one I'm playing more prevalently on any given week. This week I've been playing a lot of RS. And I have been... So I finished off getting my Raptor trophies, and I...
Oh, how many tasks did it take?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Quite a few. I would say upwards. Once I had the thing turned on, it still probably took upwards of 15 to 20.
Oh my.
Which wasn't too bad. I mean, I like Slayer and all that. But the other thing I noticed, I was like, I don't have a fully upgraded Slayer camp thing on Anachronia. So I don't have my helmet stand, which I need now because of the Animate Dead changes. So I need to wear more pieces of tank armor. And so I need that dinosaur too. And I have been killing British dinosaurs for a week now. I just got a rib. I've gotten two totems. Oh, I cannot get the tooth. So.
Yeah. I'm thankful that my RNG struck and I got most of those pieces that were needed for the Anachronia base camp relatively quickly.
Yeah, I'm feeling it and it's painful. But we will get there. And it's just kind of something, you know, while I'm waiting for double XP, where I will then be, you know, diving into construction pretty hard. But, you know, I also decided, too, that, like, I do like Slayer. So if I can work on some collection logs and work on finishing my codex, that would all be time well spent for me. It would be fun.
Yeah, that seems to be the general thing that people who like Slayer go for. That's not me, but good, I guess, in that case. In general, how are you finding the Animate Dead changes a week plus in?
Still don't notice a huge change in it other than, like I said, you know, I am cognizant of how many pieces of armor I'm wearing.
Yeah, and to be clear, we're talking about the Animate Dead beta, folks. That has not gone to the live game yet. We need to just be 100% clear. I realize I might have made it sound like this, but I kind of just transitioned because you were talking about extra armor and whatnot, and you're preparing.
And I'm preparing, right? Like I'm getting ready for this because I'm sure it is going to come our way eventually.
Eventually, yeah. That poll still just blows me away.
That's the subject for another day.
It really is. It really is. I mean, David and I had another look at our discussion and whatnot about where we went, if we needed to add anything this week, if we needed to, test anything else on the beta, and you know, we felt like we gave it a real, really thorough push through everything, and I just don't know what's happening with that poll. But like you said, topic for another day when we finally see what happens with that. So, as for me, I was about ready to throw in the towel on this Yak Track, but as you see, I'm continuing. The biggest thing in, I believe it was task 59 or 60, the fire making task at this point. Please do not make us burn elder logs or driftwood. That is a bad task, and something needs to change with the fire-making task. Make it maybe XP only or something like that. I'd be much happier if that were to happen. Because it's just so weird that, you know, switching between, say, fire-making task and then going to the next mining task, it's just how comically quick mining and smithing are compared to those. And, you know, even the crafting task following that, those were all really quick compared to what the fire making task would have did on that. So that's my feedback from this part of the Yak Track. In addition, everything we discussed earlier on that. But I have also picked up a set of tier 80 magic power armor. Can you guys believe I never had any magic power armor before?
I don't think I do right now.
Okay. Right. Right. You're a ranged person too, aren't you?
Yeah. Basically only
ranged. Yeah. And see, that's the thing. Most everything I had was in ranged, and I never really ventured out beyond that. But, you know, given what we saw with the greater sonic wave stuff and then the fractured staff changes incoming, I thought, oh, well, maybe at some point it's time to start grinding the GP again and work towards a fractured staff on that and just have magic as an option out there. Because like I say, each and every week it comes up, I would love to use Malie, but I just find that there's just way too many switches to make something like that work feasible for me. So I'm not going to go down that path, but I did buy magic power armor, tier 80 magic power armor to start with on that. So that'll be fun when I dive back in. I'm probably going to do some Reaper tasks or something this weekend. Fingers crossed on that, folks. But nice. I don't think there's anything else for this episode. Once again, huge thank you goes out to Mod Blackwitch and Mod Alex for their graphical reworks, provided us with a fun discussion this week, and always good to have you here, Zant, as well.
Glad to be here, as always.
Yes, and we do this show each and every week here on whatever podcast platform you use. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google, Pocket Cast, Spotify, Amazon, and even YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. If you want the show delivered automatically to you when it arrives, subscribing is the best way to do it. We're on all those services, pretty much all the big podcast platforms out there. Just visit update.show/subscribe and click on the one that matches your interest. And of course, YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. Give us a like there. Greatly helps the channel out. But with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. So we'll see you then, everybody. Take care.
See ya.
Later.